as I was thinking about a legacy, and we have a picture of an acorn we're using as a PowerPoint, because an acorn has all the potential of a great oak tree. And the other day, my daughter was out, and she brought me some acorns, and she said, "Dad, you've been talking about this," and so some of them have sprouted. She left them in her car for several days, and by the time she gave them to me, they were all dead. So the illustration's gone. So never mind that illustration, all right? They're all dead. But I got one for you. What is a chain? A chain is just a bunch of individual links that get transmitted, that hold on to the power. And so you get stuck in a ditch, right? You get it pulled out, or you can tow something, you can move things. And so you have all the force, however, Gary, right? You have a weak link, right? A chain is only as strong as what? Its weakest link. So we're going to talk about this idea of transmission this morning, the idea of teaching. What does the Bible say about God's will, God's plan for our life? And I said, if we're going to succeed in this game of telephone, you have to speak clearly and you have to listen closely, right? That's what's necessary if you're going to get it correctly. Somewhere along the line, sometimes we misspeak and what's heard from the next person isn't accurate. Or we speak clearly and what gets heard isn't quite right as well. And so somewhere the thought does not get transmitted, it doesn't move on. And as human beings, I've realized that it's easy for us to forget. It's easy for us to hear something and then kind of let it pass on. There's a story in the Bible about a king, or about a poor man that saved the king and his city. And Ecclesiastes 9 says, but he was quickly forgotten. The book of Genesis and Exodus kind of ends with a guy named Joseph. And then it starts up with a king that didn't remember Joseph. He was forgotten. This idea of Moses passing on to Joshua, transmitting these truths, but when you get to the end of the book of Judges, Moses had taught Joshua, Joshua had taught the people, but somewhere it got lost, because at the end of Judges it says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. He didn't pass on those truths. So today I want to spend a couple minutes talking about how we can reproduce ourselves. And one of the key aspects is that we are able to teach. We must have the capacity to communicate what God has given to us, what the heritage that we possess from others, and to pass that on to the next generation, the next people group. We must reproduce. In Acts, it says something really interesting. In Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them, or added unto the church, about 3,000 souls. Notice there was addition going on in the church. People were being added to the church. But as the church began to disciple, and they developed other leaders, and those leaders were developing other people, when we get to Acts chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says this, and in those days when the numbers of the disciples was multiplied, the church goes from adding into multiplying. See, it's a good thing to add to the church, but it's another thing for us to multiply. And the only way to do that, so you can add as an individual. You can only multiply if you are reproducing other people. Last week, we talked about this idea of leaving a legacy, and we said that our example is vital. For us to follow an example, that is what God calls us to do. And so when we witness one another in their actions, the way we act at church, the way we act on the job, the way we act while we're driving, the way we act while we're shopping, the way we act while we're in our homes, the way we deal with difficult situations and problems, people are watching us, and so our example is vital. But this week we want to talk not just about our walk, but we want to talk about our talk as well. The things that God is calling us to do. And so our key verse in this series is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And it says, and the things that thou hast heard of me, Paul is talking to Timothy, the things that you have heard from me, and those many witnesses saw it, the same Timothy, I want you to commit to, what was that next group? Faithful men who will be able to teach others. It goes from Paul to Timothy to the faithful, and the faithful are teaching others. And if we are going to create that legacy, we've got to have Pauls in our life, we've got to have Timothys in our life, we've got to have the faithful in our life, and we've got to have those others as well. A few years ago, I talked about this idea, and it really even goes back further than that. I said, all of us need a Barnabas and a Timothy in our life. Paul, when he got established, had a guy named Barnabas that believed in him, that encouraged him. And so here's Barnabas over here, and he said, you know what, this guy Paul, I believe in him. I believe he has potential. And nobody else trusted Paul, but Barnabas, he's the man of compassion. His name means compassion and caring and wanting to lift people up. And he said, I believe in Timothy, and I want us to invest in him. And he began investing in the Apostle Paul. And Paul then began investing in Timothy. And so when we get to 2 Timothy, Paul is at the end of his life. He's in prison. He's thinking he's going to die any day. And so he's writing 2 Timothy. He said, Timothy, I'm going to die, but I want to encourage you to do something. This is what I want you to do. I want you to continue the legacy. Take the heritage that you have, and I want you to create this legacy. Timothy, I want you to take it, and the people that I want you to invest in are what kind? Faithful men, right? I want you to pour your life into them. And then those faithful people, then they're going to do what? They're going to be able to teach others as well. This idea of teaching others is vital in our life. And so I put a couple questions down here. How can we all become effective teachers? How can we all be a positive influence? And how can we better develop other people in our life? I got three simple thoughts that I want to share with you from this passage as I've meditated on these verses and studied and looked in different commentaries and different teachers on this verse. And the first is simply this, that God wants us to become a better listener. Become a listener. If we are going to accomplish what God wants us to in leaving a legacy, we have to listen. Look at verse 2 again. It says there, and the things that thou hast heard of me. God wants us to hear. If we are ever going to effectively be a teacher or to be a right kind of influence, we've got to let other people influence us as well. You know, when I meet with couples that are dealing with struggles, the number one issue that comes up is communication. And when we begin to talk about communication, James 1:19 is a verse that often comes to our mind. James 1:19 says, let all of us, let every one of us be swift to, you know the next word? Hear. This is what my dad taught me. He said, son, you have two ears and one mouth, right? You heard, did you ever hear that? And so you need to listen more than you speak. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to wrath. But you know what happens when we get into arguments? We're quick to get angry. We're quick to speak. We're going to tell them our position. We want them to know the truth, and the truth is what I believe, right? And so we're going to force that on somebody else. And if you would just listen to me, and so I'm going to speak, and God says, you got it all wrong. You got this thing turned upside down. I want all of you to be swift to hear first. You got to stop. You got to pay attention, and you've got to listen. See, what do we have to pass on? And we've got to listen to the good, the things that can influence us. That's why it's important to have devotions. It's important to be in church. It's a great idea to have some positive things on the radio or on a podcast that you're listening to be being poured into you, to have the right kind of influence. Because the reality is, most of the world is not going to influence you for good, right? They're going to give you negatives. They're going to say, well, follow your heart and do your own thing, or don't listen to what somebody else has to say. And we need the positive influences in our life. And if we are going to be the best legacy builders, we first must listen. Become a listener here. Let all of us be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. In verse 15, Paul is talking to Timothy. And it's really the idea of the verse we use in our class Wednesday night, the program called Awana. Awana stands for Approved Workmen Are Not Ashamed. And how do you become approved? Well, look at 2 Timothy 2:15. It says this, study to show thyself approved unto God. And the idea of that is to treasure up the special things of God. Listen to the word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we are going to be able to be effective teachers, we first have to listen. We've got to be studious, right? I heard recently that I think it was 70% of people, Americans, did not read a book last year, at least didn't finish a book. 70%. Why? Because most people aren't readers. And what are we listening to? Maybe we have music, maybe we're watching television programs, or whatever, but what are we allowing to pour into us? And Paul's talking to Timothy, and he says, I want you to study. I want you to treasure the word of God. I want you to hide it in your heart. I want you to grow in your spiritual life. Something really interesting. I was talking to a teacher that's been teaching over 20 years. And talking with him the other day, they are doing recertification. And probably a lot of you in here have jobs where you have certain certifications, and they've been teaching over 20 years, and they were telling me how many hours they have to do over a certain period of time to get recertified as a teacher and be getting trained, and so they're going to these classes, and I said, how helpful has it been? And they said, it's been very helpful. I've been learning some new techniques on different areas and new material to be able to teach the classes that I teach, and I thought, that's interesting. Somebody that's been teaching for 20 years can still improve, right? Maybe they're teaching the same thing, same general idea year after year after year, but they understood the importance, and our society understands the importance of getting trained, getting developed. That's why as a church, this year as we talk about leaving a legacy, we are going to pour into our leaders. We have something called the ministry grid, and we're going to be getting more material to you and let you know about that, but you'll be able to get invited in to this training set of videos and other materials, and it'll be dealing with just your personal development as well as your specific ministries. And as we say, you know what, I'm going to get involved in a particular ministry, we're going to have material that'll walk you through certain material. And Pastor Ryan is working through this, and after you kind of go through that, we're going to have a team of people that walk with you personally and say, okay, do you understand how to be better at the welcome ministry, or how we can be involved in the music ministry, or whatever ministry it might be? But why would we do that? Maybe you have been a leader for 20 or 30, 40 years in a ministry, but the reality is all of us can grow, right? All of us can be better. As in our marriages, we can be better in our marriages. You may have a good marriage, but you can work on it to have a great marriage. Maybe you're having some struggles. You can learn more things about communication, about commitment, about how to show love to each other. Hey, Valentine's Day is a few days away, right? So we better be working on some of those things as well. But we want to get better, but we're only going to get better as we become listeners. So be a learner. Paul is saying there, the things that you, Timothy, have heard from me, Paul, you've got to hear. Someone said a commitment to excellence is a commitment to training. Be a listener. How are we going to leave a legacy? Well, to be apt to teach, first, we've got to become a better listener, and secondly, we need to develop meaningful relationships. Now, church is not this building. This is actually a gymnasium. Last night, we had a bunch of cornhole games running around here, and people were throwing bean bags around, eating bananas and stuff, and I won first place. Just want you to know. Okay, that's probably the second lie I've told today, but yeah. You were out within two times, and so I played at least two games, you know, so that was pretty good, but this is just a gym. But this building is not the church, is it? The church is its people. We are the Choice family. It's the connection that we have. And it's one thing to walk in and hear great music and hear the message and maybe even pray and say, you know what, I'm going to let God do a work in my life. But it really is another to allow yourself to get connected with people. It's a scary thing to a lot of individuals. I understand that. We like to be anonymous. We like to be private and to be able to share and stuff. But if we're going to grow in our Christian faith, God had a plan. From the very beginning, he said, it's not good that we be alone. God created the home. He created the community. And then when Jesus came, he created the church, a place where we are to get connected and build relationships. And so we come on Sunday morning, and hopefully you're able to establish some relationships. But basically, we want to get ministered to. As Gary was talking about the MRI, we get ministered to on Sunday morning. But a lot of times we're rushing to leave here to go to lunch or have other things that are going on. And one of the best ways to build relationships is to start coming on Wednesday nights. And I understand you commute, you travel up and down 95, you got a lot of other responsibilities, kids' activities, all kinds of things. But listen, if we can be committed to getting in the scriptures around a group of friends that we can be transparent with and begin to grow in our relationship, we will make a lot better decisions in life. We'll learn how to better ourselves and how we can glorify God better and how we can make an impact on the lives around us. But it comes as we take time and take the opportunity to invest in other people and allow them to invest in us and to really build relationships. And I know some of you get up really early. We've got all kind of reasons why, you know, we wouldn't come Wednesday night. I was sharing with a group the other day. One guy said he doesn't go to church, and somebody asked him why, and he said, because I have milk in the refrigerator. And they said, what does that have to do with anything? He said, nothing. One excuse is as good as another, right? Yeah, but, I mean, there's plenty of excuses to not be consistent in church or not to come to midweek. But listen, we need to have meaningful relationships in life. And it can happen in other ways, but I tell you, one of the best ways is to come on a Wednesday night. Kids have Awana, the teens have the gospel project that they've been working on going through the entire Bible. Was it 3 years or 4 years that you've done? 3 years of learning from Genesis all the way. They're about to get to the book of Revelation. The young adults have classes, senior adults, mid-year adults, men's groups, ladies groups, all kind of different classes, a place for you to get connected. And let me add one more. Another great way to build relationships, and Gary nailed it today, is when you start getting involved. When you get involved in ministry, and you're part of a team, and you start praying together and working together and sometimes facing difficulties together that you've got to be gracious and learn to work through and to be able to overcome because we keep our eyes on Jesus, and your life is radically changed. But it comes when we begin to develop meaningful relationships. That's what Paul did with Timothy. And if you go back to Acts chapter 16, Paul comes on the scene of a church that he had started, and he must have shared the gospel with Timothy, and then he left and he went to some other places to do ministry, and then he comes back to that town and he says, guys, I'm going to the next place to start some more churches. I'm going to be doing mission work all over these regions here. Is there anybody that you would recommend? And they said, yeah, there's a very faithful guy named Timothy. And Timothy probably was an older teen at this point. If not an older teen, at least a young adult. And Paul looked at Timothy and he invested in him. And he said, why don't you come and do ministry with me? And if you want to do a fun exercise, at least an enlightening exercise, look up, most of you have a electronic Bible now, and just type the word Timothy. Sometimes it's Timotheus. In the King James, but look up Timothy at every reference and just see the relationship that Paul and Timothy developed there. They were friends. Paul was a mentor. He trusted Timothy. There were times that he said, I can't come, but I'm sending Timothy to you. And now Timothy is taking over, and Paul is at the end of his journey, and he says, after he's developed that relationship, I want you to pour into other faithful people. I want you to do what I did toward you. I want to get developed. I want to listen. I want to develop those relationships so I can develop faithful people. Look at verse 2 again. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, so there were many people watching Paul, the same commit That's an interesting word. I want you to commit. The word commit there means to guard or to keep pure. It's the idea of then entrusting or delivering or passing it on. I want you to commit to faithful men. I want you to pass it on to them. I want you to be responsible for what you have heard and then take what you have heard to the next people group. See, if you've been brought up in church, you've heard a lot of sermons, you've heard teachings, maybe you've been brought up in Sunday school and you have that, or maybe this is all new to you and it's fresh and exciting, but wherever you are, there's something that you've heard, and now God wants you to have relationships. And if somebody's not a believer, they don't know Jesus as the Savior, and you know that you're a Christian, that your role is to teach them the gospel, so they can know about Jesus. And if they've already accepted Jesus, to help them to learn what's the first step of obedience. It's baptism. Then what's next? You know, it's them having devotions. It's them getting connected in church, them getting involved, them studying the Bible. And you say, well, I don't know everything. All you have to do is to teach what you know, though. I mean, I don't know everything, but I can just teach what I know, and I take what I have learned to the next group. And I commit that. I entrust to the faithful. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, right? You rub it up against the iron and it's going to get sharper. And he says, that's what we are to do to our friends, right? Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. There was a guy named Charles Tremendous Jones, wrote a small little book called Life is Tremendous. And in that book, he said, you will be the same person in 5 years as you are today, except for the people you meet and the books that you read. What's going to cause you to be different? Well, am I going to be a learner? And then do I take that, and who am I investing in? You see, Paul said, Timothy, take the things that you have heard of me. So if somebody is listening, that means somebody has to be speaking. And when I'm speaking, do I have something valuable that I'm giving to someone else? How am I encouraging other people? How am I developing them? How am I adding to their story? The other day I read about, I heard a lesson about Michael Jordan's college coach. And it was after an awesome game, end-of-season shot, Michael Jordan made a shot at the end of the game and won the game. And that summer, the coach was writing to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, going to be the greatest basketball player ever, but he wasn't at this point. And he wrote a letter to Michael, and he didn't even mention that winning shot. But he said, several things I want to talk to you about, and he shared some offensive moves and some defensive things that he could do and certain things that he could do to become more consistent in his shot. What did he do? He was developing him. You know what? Relationships are to sharpen each other. That's why we need to be more transparent. If you say, hey, how's life? Oh, it's great. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. And somebody else doesn't know about the issues that you're facing. That's not reality. But God has placed us here in this church so we could develop meaningful relationships, which means there are times that we need to go to someone and we need to say, hey, there's something that you need to work at changing. And how are we going to deal with that? When somebody comes to us and says, you have something in your life that needs to change. That's no fun, is it? I mean, it really bothers me when somebody does that to me. You know, it's not fun at all. It's not enjoyable. But we're not going to get better unless we have people doing it. Now, let me say this. If you don't have a close friend, don't do that. You know, don't go up to somebody that you don't really know very well and say, let me tell you something you need to change, you know. Or do this. Go to Walmart and see a little spoiled brat and go tell the mom how she needs to deal with him, right? That's going to go over really well, right? Yeah. The mama bear is going to come out, right? You can only do that if you have a good relationship with somebody. But if you have that good relationship, then God calls us to invest in their life. Two thoughts. People that invest in you. You've got to have people that are investing in you. And secondly, people that you are investing in. You see what it says here? commit to faithful men. The word faithful is talking about reliable, dependable, people that you can trust, that you have faith in. That's the kind of people that we need to invest in. I almost missed a whole page of my notes there. Wouldn't that be terrible? So I turned it and it said conclusion. I was like, I can't conclude yet, right? You don't want me to conclude yet, do you? Yeah, okay, all right. Yes, you do. Okay, thank you. Was that a big, that was the biggest amen I've ever got out of you, Patty. So thank you. Yeah, that's, I've heard enough. It's been such a good message. You can go on, right? I got it. Never ask that question, Jeff, when you're down at Open Door. I just learned that, right? Yeah. One of the values that Choice has is communicating the truth in love. We've got to take a stand. Hey, at some point, read 2 Timothy here in chapter 2, and you know what Paul talks about? He says, Timothy, don't let the false teachers come in. Make sure the doctrine is correct. Make sure the things that I've been pouring into you, he'd been talking about who Jesus was, how salvation was only through Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection. He talked to him about the church. He talked to him about prophecy. He talked to him about God, the Holy Spirit, all these different teachings about sin and mankind, all these things. And guess what? The false teachers were going to start coming in. And so he says, Timothy, make sure your doctrine is right. We've got to communicate the truth. I mean, our beliefs are vital. Not everybody's right. There is a right and a wrong. There is a moral and an immoral. There is truth and there is lie. When somebody says, well, this is my truth. No, that's not true. I mean, truth is truth and lies are lies. And we've got to know what we believe. But listen, I've been around plenty of Christians that said the right things. Someone said it this way, they have the right position, but the wrong disposition. You know, we can take a stand for traditional marriage and still love people that are having questions about their sexual orientation, right? I mean, we can love people that believe that it's okay to take the life of a baby, whether in the womb or right outside the womb. But we're only going to have the audience of society when we are gracious as well. So we must speak the truth in love, but we must speak the truth. Don't let society put a wet blanket on us and not take the right kind of stands, but take the right kind of stands while we love people. So, be a listener. Start developing other people. Read through 2 Timothy as it talks about the right kind of beliefs. And then number three, if we're going to be the right kind of teacher, not only do we need to listen, not only do we need to develop the right kind of relationships, but we must focus on reproducing ourselves. I want you to teach faithful men, and those faithful men are going to be able to teach others also. The word able there means competent people. We are teaching faithful people who are going to teach able people. They have that ability. They're faithful and they have this ability to teach, to trust, to instruct, to explain, to pass on. Paul is ready to die and he's saying, Timothy, I've invested in you. And you're what I'm leaving behind. And can you imagine one day as you're at the final hours of your life, we have two families in the church having funerals this next week. I mean, there comes that point, right, where our life is close to being over. What is it that we will leave behind? Will we have a marriage that we demonstrated to our kids that this is how you love your mom and dad. This is how you live as a Christian. Is that the example we're setting? To the people around us, our friends, and this is the way we live the Christian life? Not that I act one way in church and live a different life outside of church. You know, what is it that we're leaving behind? That's what Paul was dealing with here. And he says, I want you to teach other people also. We lead ourselves first so we can lead others, and then we can lead leaders, and we can be that teacher that we need to be. My favorite verse when I'm teaching teachers is a verse out of Ezra. You probably remember the storyline if you grew up in church. Nehemiah was building a wall around the city of Jerusalem. While he's building the city walls around Jerusalem, the priest Ezra becomes the teacher, and he is trying to invest in them spiritually. Nehemiah is practically building the wall for protection. Ezra is spiritually building the people up. And Ezra talks about being the right kind of teacher, and this is what Ezra chapter 7, verse 10 says. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Guess what happened before he became a teacher? Ezra, first of all, prepared his heart. See, it starts with us. As I said last week, we can't have a mentality, do what I say, not what I do. I've got to prepare myself. There's a great pastor that I heard say, I've got to go home and prepare myself for Sunday. And he said that, and I thought, that is a really strange statement, because I always thought you go to the office or home or wherever the pastor has his study and prepares his sermon. But you know, I could prepare a sermon without preparing myself. But if I am going to effectively teach, as I get into the Word of God, I need to make sure God's changing me first, right? If I'm just telling you what to do, and hey, don't look at me, don't pay any attention to me, you know, don't worry about my life, I'm just going to tell you what to do, we'd say that's hypocritical. Ezra first prepared his heart, secondly, to seek the law. So let me ask you, how do you do with reading the Bible outside of church or even outside of Wednesday night? Do you let God prepare your heart to seek the law? I mean, it's really not enough just to hear one sermon on Sunday and think that's going to carry you through to be a spiritually dynamic person. It's not. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law, letting the Word of God be a part of your everyday life. I know you've got to read the newspaper if you still get the newspaper. You got to check your emails. You've got texts. You've got all kinds of things to do. And we can get so busy that we don't open up the Bible. He prepared his heart to seek the law. And then it says, and to do it. So you've got to live it out in your life. When God speaks to you, you've got to live in obedience. And it's only when we do it, after we've prepared our heart, God, I'm available. What do you want from me? Then we seek God's law. We read his word. Let him speak to us. We start doing it. It's only then can we really be effective teachers to leave a legacy. So he says here, I want you to be able to teach. But you've got to hear. You've got to develop relationships. And you got to focus on developing other people. Reproduce ourselves so we can be everything that God's called us to be. See, as ministry leaders around here, it's not enough that we just get the job done. If we do that, and if we say, you know what, God wants us to go to two services, and God wants us to add additional ministry, and we just get busier and busier, you know what we'll do? We'll just burn out. And we've got to step back a little bit and we say, okay, I need to get developed. I need to train a larger team around me. That team of faithful people needs to invest in other people. And as we grow in that team, then we can reach out to our church family and do a better job shepherding. We can reach out to our community and do a better job of reaching the gospel. We can reach out to our world and do a better job of reaching our missionaries and sending more missionaries out around the world so they can leave the legacy along with us. See, that's God's calling in our life. So let's just for a moment just bow our heads. Where are you in that chain? Let's not be a weak link. Maybe you've been brought up in church. You have that spiritual heritage of your own. What are you doing to pass it to your children and then to your grandchildren? Why don't we all just take a moment and just let God know that we want to be quick to hear. God, I want to listen. I'm here. Maybe there's some relationships, some friendships. You're so busy, whether it be at the grocery store, and just talking to someone to invite to church, or a waiter or waitress today, and leaving them a gospel tract, telling them Jesus loves them, or even praying for them over your lunch today. A co-worker, somebody's dealing with the struggle, somebody on your sports team or in your school. Are you demonstrating that right example? Are you positively investing in those that are around you and taking the right stand for truth, but doing it in a loving and gracious way? So we can reproduce and leave a legacy. Father, here we are. Use this invitation to bring you glory. Speak to our hearts, and God, give us humble hearts to make changes, to be faithful to your word, to be faithful to church, to be faithful to our family, to be consistent in our Christian walk. And Lord, guide us this year in our Christian ministries, that we can invest in the lives of others. When somebody walks in here for the first time, may they feel your love. Lord, may we make a difference by having compassion. Lord, we pray that our children around here would have somebody investing in pouring the Word of God into them. Lord, use us to make a difference. And friend, if you're here today, you don't know Christ as your Savior, we'd love to share with you how you can know you're going to heaven. We invite you to come. If you're a Christian, you haven't been baptized, why don't you let us know about that? You want to join the church, or you just want to come and pray for yourself or someone else, you use this invitation. Dear Father, please take this time. In Jesus' name, amen.